This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
On the show this week, a very special guest of mine, Todd is out of commission. He'll be, he has some personal things he has to take care of. So we have a special guest host this week for the TJ and Todd tailgate, a man from Georgia, person, you know, we have Todd on. He's always the biggest Mizzou homer as it is. So, of course, I reach out to one of my old buddies from my Bleacher Report days, a Georgia alum himself, to take on the SEC and really fill Todd's shoes in on being the homer of the SEC division. So without further introduction, I guess I could say, editor of Bleacher Report's college football section, a former writer, a co-writer from Bleacher Report days when I used to work there, Eric Bowman. Eric, thank you for coming on and filling in Todd's shoes and joining us on the show here. First question, bigger upset news for you, upsetness, I guess I could say, for you, the loss of Jason Hayward from the Braves or Todd Gurley from the Bulldogs?
Ooh, that's a good one there, DJ. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's always good to chat sports with you.
That's right.
Going back to our PR days and good old Google Hangouts and Google Chat on the podcast, always a blast. You know, to that answer, my answer for that has got to be Todd Gurley, because that was such a devastation. You know, I lucked into a ticket in that game, so I got there after I worked and got there about 8:30 or so, about mid-second quarter, and was able to be there. I'd gone to the Vanderbilt game, too, which was actually his last game before the suspension, so I thought he might be suspended the entire year, and thought, well, at least I got to see him in his final game. He actually threw a touchdown pass that day, which was pretty cool.
Right.
You know, and my thinking was, he's probably going to throw through a few more of those and, you know, work his way to the Heisman. And then, unfortunately, he had the whole autograph mishap and everything. And, you know, he paid the price and came back. And then, you know, for him to just go out like that is really heartbreaking. You know, Jason Hayward, you know, was a great outfielder for the Atlanta Braves, you know, hometown kid.
Mm-hmm.
If he could have gone anywhere but, you know, the Yankees and the Cardinals, and, you know, I'd have been okay. But, of course, he had to land the Cardinals, so hit up one of my friends who's a huge time Cardinal fan, one of my groomsmen actually, and
really?
You know, was just like, why did you have to get him? But you know, it's definitely the loss of Todd Gurley. I mean, Georgia has Nick Chubb, and that's great and everything, but to have, you know, the tandem of Chubb and Gurley as you potentially could get to the SEC title game, you know, we need, you know, the Dogs in Missouri to lose to Arkansas this week. You know, to have that opportunity, but you know, without Gurley and just the way everything unfolded there, that was definitely heartbreaking.
You know, I broke just a spot with, or a subject with Todd here about being in a relationship with someone and you being recently married as of 6 months, right? You're newlywed of 6 months right now, correct?
Yes, actually, yesterday was our 6 month anniversary and we spent the day being sick together. So,
there you go.
Marriage.
There it is. Just waiting to have a kid. Then the kid can be sick as well, and it's a nice little tripod. But, But there's the video that came out after the Ole Miss LSU game of that was it the Ole Miss fan just completely rubbing in his girlfriend's her face about LSU losing, and I told Todd, you know, my wife is an Indianapolis Colts fan, to never do that. And now let me ask you this question: has there ever been a situation where you and your wife now have come into play where she's cheering for something and you cheer for the opposite and your team happens to win?
Let me think about that. No, we're pretty even on teams, except for I'm a campus basketball fan. I jumped the bandwagon back when I was in, oh gosh, like middle school, back in the Kirk Heinrich days.
Oh wow!
And I just decided to stick on because I didn't have Georgia basketball wasn't very good then, and
right.
You know, being a middle school kid, you want a good team to cheer for. So I jumped on that bandwagon. Most of my friends are on the UNC or Duke bandwagon. So. I've slept with Candace and Rose Addon, and she's got some family in Kentucky, so she's a Kentucky
fan.
Oh, my
fan. God.
So this past weeks ago, oh, yeah, last week actually was it?
Yeah.
I think it was last Tuesday. Candace and Kentucky played, so we had a little, we sat down for that and we're watching that, and then, you know, Kentucky was just demolishing them with Platoon 1 and Platoon 2, so it was, she was definitely rubbing it in on that. And, you know, Kansas made a little push there towards the end of the first half. I thought maybe we're coming out, and then, you know, Calipari goes with his Platoon 2 for the second half, and they just come out. I think it was like a 7 or 10-0 run there to start the first the second half, and it was just, it was embarrassing, man. It was a struggle. So that's probably the only time we've ever really had a clash there. But for the most part, we're pretty even on teams we like.
But as a husband, you just eat whatever comes to you, right? Even if the roles were reversed and your Jayhawks were just routing the Wildcats, you just eat the loss or eat the win and move on. You do not rub it into her face, right?
I don't know, man. I probably would have given her a few jabs.
Wow.
If my team's winning, but, you know, I'm not going to – I have to just kind of take it like a champ with her team winning. And, you know, there's really nothing I could have said in that. But, you know, I would go the opposite fence. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a little – fun banter, you know, if you keep it in a respectable bounds, obviously it's not gonna, you know, go crazy or anything like that. But
and not
a little, she's a good sport about it, so.
And not to YouTube it and put it up there for everyone to see. I think that also is where you go wrong.
Yeah, you know, definitely keep that in the private room. You don't need to keep things going viral there. That would not be good for a marriage.
No. Alright, we'll go back to Georgia here. You know, with Gurley and Mark Richt suspending him and keeping him off the team, was that a move to where he tried to save face in case something came out against Gurley and they had to vacate wins? Because this Georgia team, you know, really, with Gurley, they could be in the spot where they are contending for a playoff spot.
You know, I think part of that was Georgia just doing the right thing and playing it by the book, because they've had some issues with their swim team, actually. And,
oh, interesting.
Swimming and diving. Had some issues, and the head coach went up to Indianapolis to meet with the NCAA. I think it was like a week before. No, it was a couple of days right after Georgia applied for reinstatement. So we thought, you know, okay, here we go. Maybe there was a flight. You know those websites that have the flight trackers that there was a from Athens to Indianapolis, and everyone thought for sure Todd Gurley was on that. And it's about, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour later, it was found that, you know, it was actually the swim coach, and they were going in and doing their already scheduled meeting and everything. So Georgia had to kind of play it safe, play it by the books. They did the right thing. I commend it for that. You know, some folks said, you know, they should have rolled the dice. You know, he could have gone the Florida State route, could have gone the deny route. You know, Todd Gurley owned up to his mistake. It's really unfortunate that, you know, some guy basically just tattled on him like a little fifth grader, but that's his. That's his life. You have to roll with it. He made a mistake, and he owned up to it and paid the price. You know, I think it was a surprise that it was actually going to be four games when everyone thought initially that it was just the $400 that other guy said. But, you know, I don't know. I wasn't in those meetings, and my assumption is that Todd just told the truth, which, you know, you can't hate on a guy for telling the truth after he's made a mistake. That's, you know, I respect him for that.
You know, you said the Florida State route with deny, 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 and just play it out, and hopefully everything, you know, works itself in the end. Just taking a look into the future and what we've seen with USC, North Carolina, and some of the others that have a great program and win a bunch of games, and it comes out that it's been some shady stuff going on in the background. In 5 years, do you think we're going to be looking back at this FSU run over the last 2 years and see a bunch of NCAA sanctions and sanctions coming against this club?
You know, that's really tough to say, just because I'm not well-versed in all of Florida State's happenings. But,
right.
You know, I will say this, that, you know, I do think the colleges across the nation have their share of cheating in some form or fashion, whether it's minor, you know, secondary infractions, every team comes across as guilty of those occasionally. There's a lot of rules, you know, in the NCAA. It's really hard to stay within those guidelines and meet everything. So you see a lot of secondary violations, and then some teams, you know, they're doing those bigger violations. Some just get caught, some don't. You know, that's kind of the nature of where the sport's at right now. You, you know, depending on your athletic director and your coach and, you know, who you have running the show for you, as a college football fan or college sports fan in general, you just have to hope that, you know, you've got the right people there that are doing respectable things.
From what you've seen this year, are the allegations against Jameis going to keep him out of being in the running for back-to-back Heismans? Because he's going to be in the room come, you know, the second week of December when they do the presentation for winning last year. But what happened to him this year, is that going to keep him out from being with Melvin Gordon, Mariota, as one of the finalists for this year's trophy?
That's a good question. You know, I think some folks are very, you know, tuned into all of his off-the-field stuff, and that's deterring away from what he's done on the field. He hasn't put up, you know, outworldly numbers like previously, but he's also winning, you know, and Heisman
right.
voters, they do love, you know, I think he's clouded a little bit by his past and by, you know, his off-the-field incidences, you know, his shouting obscene gesture on campus. Which,
yeah, right.
I think he's a college kid, not making the smartest of decisions, but I think a lot will depend on, you know, these next 2 weeks here, and, you know, when Florida State takes on Florida, if he can come out and, you know, demolish them from start to finish and put up some really good numbers and do the same thing against Georgia Tech and actually look like, you know, a quarterback that can lead his team for all four quarters instead of just leading comebacks, which he's kind of been the comeback kid this year, which you have to give him some credit for. And that's really tough to do, facing a lot of adversity. But I think that shows to his leadership skills. You know, the kid knows how to play football. He knows how to win. That's all he's ever done in college football. He has yet to lose. And a lot of people are rooting for him to lose, but you know, until that day happens, I think he will be in the Heisman mix, but it'll depend on how he does in these next two games against Florida and Georgia Tech in the ACC championship game. So, and a lot will depend on, too, you know, how Mariota performs
right.
in his final two games, how Melvin Gordon does, and his final potential two games. They've got Wisconsin this week, or Wisconsin has Minnesota this weekend, so if they can win that game, there will be... they will win their division, but in comparison to the East Division, the Big Ten West Division is a little bit down. You know, you have just Nebraska and Wisconsin as your top teams there. So, and then they'll face, Melvin Gordon will have a big stage against Ohio State on the Big Ten Championship game. So those two are the front runners to me, Mariota and Melvin Gordon. But I think Winston could have a good chance to kind of sneak in there because you don't really have a third guy in it that's really set himself. You know, you can make a case potentially for Amari Cooper or Trayvon Boykin from TCU. But those two guys, it's really tough because they haven't, you know, set the world on fire, kind of like Mariota and Gordon have been doing statistically. And I think it's going to be very telling in these next 2 weeks. So it's just kind of funny, though, you know, the college playoff is has really overshadowed the Heisman this year.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, just winning got A.J. McCarron into the room last year as being the Lifetime Achievement Award for being, you know, Alabama's quarterback for the last 3 years. But with Florida State, you know, last year the complaint was they're winning by too much and Jameis isn't playing in the second half because they're, you know, boat racing teams. This year they are, you know, the comeback kids, as you just said, with comeback wins against Notre Dame, last week against BC, Clemson. They had to, you know, rely on a last second field goal to, you know, being pushed game to overtime. So question to you is it fair that if they happen to lose to a good Duke team in the ACC title game, that they get punished and get knocked out of the tournament, whereas Mississippi State with one loss losing to Alabama, well, I guess it's not fair to, you know, Alabama, but... Alabama, I guess, losing to Ole Miss, if they happen to lose in the SEC title game, they get in with two losses.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how conference weekend shakes up. To your point about FSU potentially losing, they face Georgia Tech, not Duke, in the ACC.
Oh, is that? Oh, my fault. Okay. Georgia Tech already wrapped it up.
Tech actually clinched it last Thursday when North Carolina beat Duke.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's pretty interesting that... You know, Tech's been a pretty solid team this year. They lost to both of those teams, actually, UNC and Duke, but they managed to win some other games and kind of sneak in there. And that's
right.
a very intriguing matchup against Florida State. But I think if Florida State does lose that game and they're not ACC champions, they may miss the playoffs just because of the way, you know, the committee's really looked at them. You know, it was a big surprise that the committee is going a little bit different where than the BCS. If you had the BCS still around, Florida State would be, you know, very close to they would be number one, and they would be very, very close to number one. Alabama might edge them out just because of the more ranked wins against opponents.
Right.
And the playing in the SEC there. So I do think if Florida State falls against Georgia Tech in the ACC title game and they're not conference champions, it's been It's been pretty interesting to see, you know, what the committee factors in, you know, head to head, strength of schedule, and all that good stuff. I think the heaviest of factors, though, is we're going to find out is if you win your conference, then you're most likely going to be in. So there's going to be one that's going to miss out. I think it's either going to be the Big 12 or the Big 10 that's going to miss out on it. That's because I don't think Florida State loses. I think they're going to win these next two games. Jameis Winston just kind of knows how to get it done. Mm-hmm. So it's Jimbo Fisher. So.
Well, what about this, though? I'm going to lay out a situation for you here that I think is going to get you very, very giddy on the other side of the phone here. Georgia, they beat Georgia Tech, which is going to be a ranked team, propels them, you know, potentially over UCLA. Mississippi beats Mississippi State this weekend, knocks them out of the picture. Bama loses to Auburn, knocks them out. Missouri loses to Arkansas, who have come on very, very strong these last 2 weeks, so it's a good possibility that Mizzou loses. And Georgia goes on to play in the SEC title game against Alabama and beats them. Does that put Georgia into the Final Four?
You know, I think it would, because it's the SEC. It's the strongest conference in the nation. You know, Georgia's number 10. We'll see where they rank in the newest.
Oh, yeah, coming out. We are taping on Tuesday, yeah, so yeah.
So they'll be – they were number 10 before they played good old Charleston Southern last week. UCLA is going to bump up a little bit. They're the new playoff dark horses. They're going to bump up a little bit because they got a ranked win over a rival and a huge ranked win over there. That was a very impressive win that they needed to show the committee, and they did that. So I think they'll jump up a little bit, but they got a big contest against Stanford this weekend and rivalry weekend. They win that, you know, they're going to win their division, the Pac-12 South, and face Oregon in the Pac-12 title game.
Mm-hmm.
If they win that, UCLA could potentially sneak in as well. But I think with Georgia, you know, they have some bad losses. South Carolina and Florida are not the greatest of losses compared to, you know, such as UCLA, the loss to Oregon in the middle of the season. So that's going to hurt them in the eyes of the committee. But, you know, I really think the you win your conference, you're going to get a really strong boost there from the committee. So, you know, Alabama will still be one of the top four teams when they even if in your scenario that they do lose to
Auburn.
And I think they'll still be one of the top four teams. They're number one right now. So, you know, you beat the top four team and you're an SEC champ, I think you could squeeze in and potentially get that fourth spot. That'll be a very wild scenario if that actually does happen. And
it's like chaos.
Some intense chaos that college football has never seen before.
Well, what about this, though? Say, you know, Bama loses to Auburn and Mississippi State beats Ole Miss, but then your Bulldogs go on to beat Mississippi State in that SEC title game. Does that leave the SEC out of the playoff completely with a bunch of two-loss teams in Oregon, Florida State, TCU, and Ohio State, all with either undefeated record or one loss?
Yeah, that's something the committee is going to have to look long and hard at and ask themselves, you know, do we leave the SEC out? You know, I do wonder how much TV influence and TV rates are on their minds. You know, they've come out and, you know, before the season ever started, as soon as we announced that we had the playoff, it was always about finding the four best teams.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if for whatever reason, you know, Mississippi State gets in that title game and then they lose to Georgia, Alabama's still going to be there hanging around at number four. I could potentially see some chaos there where Alabama gets into the top four ahead of a Georgia, two-loss Georgia team that won the SEC.
Right. Yeah. And it'd be weird if, SEC is the best conference in the nation, but they're left out completely altogether from, the biggest, you know, the first ever playoff that happens. But what about this? Mm-hmm. I was talking offline with a buddy of mine, and he brought up the question of if TCU or Baylor are left out of this playoff for Ohio State, is that the committee's way of thumbing their nose at the Big 12 and saying, add two more teams so you guys can have a conference title game?
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, that it's going to be interesting to see how the committee weighs that with Big 12 not having a conference title game. you know, Ohio State is a national powerhouse, so there's that factor as well of, you know, you've got a big premier team, you know, will draw a lot more interest than a TCU or a Baylor will in the game. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to predict what this committee's done going to do because they've been pretty, what word I want to go with here, confusing, I guess, week to week.
That's true.
You know, this past week, they it kind of seems like, you know, what is their logic? You kind of have to ask yourself that, especially after this past week when, you know, even Marshall is undefeated. They're still not in the top 25, you know? And
yeah.
I think that's very, very intriguing that, you know, they're undefeated. Yeah, they haven't really played anybody of worth or anything, but, you know, we're in this new era of college football, and the little guys, you know, they don't get much luck. So it's really hard to predict what the committee's going to do. You know, I would love to see some chaos because chaos is fun and it makes the sport pretty great, but I'm not so sure I want to trust the committee, you know, to put the, if they can put the four best teams in there with an immense amount of chaos coming on rivalry weekend, you know?
Well, I think the hot sport take from Marshall is schedule someone tougher, Marshall. Why are you playing a bunch of cream puffs, Marshall? Obviously, that's what the take is on that one. Just like if you were writing full time again, it'd be why is it an SEC homer? Or why do you hate other conferences and just love the SEC, Eric? Why? Answer that question for me. Why do you hate other conferences?
Well, I don't. I mean, I can, you know, where it might come across that way at times. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the SEC is the best conference. You know, I like to try to keep it real. I think Alabama, in our Bleacher Report top 25, I've got Alabama number one right now. You know, I'm not going to put them there if they lose to Alabama. If they lose to Auburn this weekend, and I wouldn't jump Mississippi State up to number one if they beat Ole Miss and Alabama happens to lose. You know, I would probably put, I'd have to go pretty head-to-head and see how Oregon and Florida State play against their opponents this weekend. So, you know, I don't think that there's, you know, an SEC bias on my end, so to speak. But I think if you're a football fan, you just have to realize the facts are that there's an immense amount of talent in the SEC. They play week to week, you know, besides their, you know, FCS Cupcake opponents from time to time. But when you're playing head-to-head in your conference, and as we've seen, it's anybody can win, especially in the SEC West this year. It's been remarkable to see, you know, Arkansas's turnaround. They pulled the back-to-back shutouts against LSU and Ole Miss. And they're a really talented team. They struggled early on, but, you know, they found their way to win. They fought through adversity. You have to give them credit for that.
Stop scheduling Charleston Southern, Cupcakes. Stop scheduling them, Georgia. We'll play someone tough. Play TCU. Play them every week, Georgia. Come on. No. But, you know, we spoke offline as well about Arkansas, and we'll try to wrap this up here in a second before we get into, you know, Auburn and Alabama. But is Arkansas going to be next year's Ole Miss, where they just come out of nowhere and they contend for the top spot in the SEC West?
I really do think that Alex Collins is a very strong running back. Some folks might remember him for his national signing day craziness, where his mom wouldn't, his letter of intent a few years back. She really wanted him to stay home and go to Miami, but everything's pretty much worked out for him. And,
you don't say.
You know, he got to Arkansas and, you know, has really been a true workhorse for Brett Bielema, who really loves running the ball. And, you know, Brandon Allen's a pretty underrated QB. He's hurt right now, and his brother is actually his backup, which is pretty cool to think about. You know, you got two brothers as your QB1 and QB2, so he's had some soft tissue injury. So it'll be interesting to see if he can be a go against Missouri or not, but they're just going to run the ball. That's all they do. I've been really impressed with their defense. You know, Trey Flowers is a great defensive end, but I don't think they'll have him next year. So, you know, it's tough to say that they'll be the Ole Miss because Ole Miss came out hot and came out firing, you know, upset Alabama there, but then they've kind of teetered off there a little bit. They've kind of fallen off the big picture, which was a bit of a surprise, given how they started pretty strong.
Yeah, they lost three of their last four. But you look at Arkansas, you know, an overtime loss to Texas A&M back when A&M was a top 10 team, losing to Alabama by a point, you know, because of a botched extra point earlier in the game.
Yeah, very competitive.
Yeah.
Alabama, very competitive against the number one team, Mississippi State, almost had them there at the end.
Right, against your Bulldogs as well.
Yeah, they had a final drive there against Mississippi State where they could have come up. You know, I think they're going to need some growth at that quarterback position. You know, they're going to need to land some good skill players here in this next recruiting class. So that's going to be very telling there. So, but I've been very impressed with what they've been able to do. You know, there's been a lot of heat for Brett Bielema there and getting things off the ground. But it's hard to win in the SEC.
Yeah,
and I think that's been very proven this year.
Unless you play Vanderbilt, unless you play Derek Mason's Tire Fire, then they'll be all right. Even Kentucky looked like a great team, and they petered off it towards the end as well. I remember in earlier shows, we thought Kentucky was going to be the wild card to up and rise and take the SEC East.
Yeah, they started about 5-0, and now they've lost the last spot, and they're trying to get, you know, this lost last six. They're trying to get a bowl win here. They face rival Louisville on Saturday, and that will be for bowl eligibility if Kentucky can get in there.
So, yeah.
Then every single SEC team except for Vanderbilt will be bowl eligible, assuming Tennessee beats Vanderbilt this weekend, which should happen.
Which should, because, as we said, Vanderbilt, Tire Fire. Okay, so we'll end on this note here. Auburn versus Alabama. You know, last year, Auburn ran all over Saban's defense. Do you expect the same to happen this year with a combination of not Trey Mason and Marshall, but Marshall leading the ground attack with completing a high percentage of passes?
I think we're going to see a high-scoring shootout here, to be honest. I don't think there's going to be a great deal of defense. I think both offenses are going to come out firing. You've got Auburn, you know, they laid a huge egg against Georgia. You know, they lost 34-7. The offense was just non-existent in that game, really. A lot of it had to do with Marshall, and he was a very inconsistent passer against Georgia, so they had his number, and I think he's going to bounce back really strong and be really motivated to go out on a high note. This is going to be a legacy-defining game for Nick Marshall here. You know, you beat Auburn, or you beat Alabama, your big rival in back-to-back years. You know, you're going to go down in Auburn history big time. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. You know, you might see Amari Cooper have a really big game, try to get his name back in the Heisman mix there, a couple touchdowns. Blake Sims has been really impressive this year, too. Well, you know, there's going to be some defensive stops just because it is Auburn and it is Alabama, and they've got the talent there. But, you know, when push comes to shove, I think we're really going to have a lot of offense.
Is it weird that this game has moved from CBS on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, to an ESPN game? Because to me, that seems very odd.
Yeah, I think what it was is CBS jumped the gun there, and they have to have, you know, teams on a certain amount of times and things like that. So I think they jumped the gun with thinking that, you know, when you had Mississippi State and Ole Miss, you know, really strong starts, they thought that the Egg Bowl was going to be bigger than the Iron Bowl.
Well,
didn't work out that way, and now ESPN is, you know, going to reap the benefits there of really having the only primetime game. They're going to be competing against Oregon and Oregon State, which is, you know, also on ESPN Network, so...
Right.
It's just going to be all eyes on the Iron Bowl Saturday night.
And I know Feinbaum is doing the live call-in show for you know, the Iron Bowl. What are you guys doing with Bleacher Report and you know, this big weekend of Thanksgiving games?
You cut out there. What was that?
Oh, same.
I heard the Feinbaum.
Yeah, Feinbaum's doing that live call-in show for the Iron Bowl. So what are you guys preparing to do over at Bleacher Report for, you know, get you guys out on the plug here?
Oh, you know, we'll have our team reactions from both of our writers. Speaking specifically to the Iron Bowl, you know, we'll have our video reaction as well from our Team Stream Now folks up in New York, and our video talent affair, so we, Michael Felder and Adam Kramer. So we'll have a lot of great content coming out of that weekend, a lot of go-forward ideas as well, looking ahead to bigger picture to SEC Championship game as well.
Yeah, well... Well, good, Eric. What were you going to say at the last part?
Oh, I think it's going to be a great weekend, man. Rivalry weekend is always a blast from Thursday on into Saturday, man.
That's right.
I'll be actually watching more college football Thursday night than I will be watching NFL on Thanksgiving, which is pretty great.
Oh, there you go. Well, rise up, Eric Bowman. Rise up for your first place Falcons at 4-7.
Yeah, the NFC South is a joke this year, man.
Yeah.
We'll save that conversation for another day, though, man. It was great to have. Thanks for having me on, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, Eric. Take care, man. Thanks for coming on. Thank you for downloading this week's episode of the Tailgate. For more information on the show, go to PlayToBeNation.com, or you can follow the show on Twitter at TJ Masculine, or at PlayToBeNation.